The word love is one of the most overused words in the English language. They're right up there with the word hope. Those two words are commonly used among us in the English language. We use it to say, I love ice cream. A lot of guys are saying today, I love football. Others of us are saying, I love my children. Others say, I love sleep. It's also not only one of the most overused words, it's also one of the most dangerous words in the English language. Because love is used to justify either not doing something or doing something. So there are women today who are contemplating aborting their child because they just don't think they can love this child. And every child deserves to be loved. And I just don't think I can love this child. And so in the name of love, or the lack thereof, a baby is going to be killed tomorrow. Hundreds of them, I would imagine. Thousands, according to statistics in this country alone. In the name of love. In the name of love, somebody's going to kill their family this week because they're going to kill themselves because of the stress in their life, and they can't bear to have their children live without them. And so they don't want them to go through the pain of being fatherless or motherless, and so they'll kill them too in the name of love. In the name of love, there are men and women doing all sorts of sexually immoral things today in the name of love, because we love each other. And who are you to tell me that I don't love him or her? So love is a dangerous word. It is used to do all sorts of things. It's also the most misunderstood word in the English language. Orville, I think you accidentally turned the light off. Somebody did. candlelight services are nice, but that's going to be Christmas Eve, okay? It's also one of the most misunderstood words in the English language because many people think it's only a feeling. It's sort of like something that happens to you. You know, it's like a chemical reaction that, at least when I talk about romantic love, is, you know, some people are lucky enough to experience it, and others are not so lucky. And it's something that comes and goes. The love is gone. It just kind of disappeared. It evaporated. You know, I thought we loved each other, but, you know, it's something's gone wrong, and it's no longer there. And other people are going to let their child at Christmas, or their children, have anything they want. They're going to load them over, overdose them with gifts. Because they want to show love. And many broken families, the fathers, and I know this from my experience with Men at Hope, they want to prove their love to their children by giving them all kinds of gifts. And those of you who've been the recipient of that, of parents who may have doted on you and gave you all kinds of stuff, but you didn't really feel it, of delight in you or feel love for you, it's really kind of empty, because that love is misunderstood. Other people are going to refuse to spank their children today, because even though they desperately need it, they're not going to spank them because they love them too much to inflict pain. So inflicting pain and love for many people are contradictory. And the fourth truth about love in our culture is that I think it's the most insincerely spoken word in the English language. I am sure you've had people tell you that they loved you, and you really didn't believe it. Yeah, it just sort of like didn't seem right, did it? I mean, really? So the word love is expected, especially during these holiday seasons. You know, I love you, all my love. All kinds of love words will be poured out, you know, in cards and on phones and in person. And for some of it, not all of it, but for some of it, it's basically just expected that you say that. And somebody would be offended if you didn't. But it's not really from your heart. It's insincerely spoken. So love is an issue. And because the word love has been so greatly diminished and by overuse and by misuse, now I'm sure it's not just in our English language, it's probably in all languages, but I only know English. We need to sit up and take notice when the love word is used in the Word of God. Because the antidote, the cure for a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding, or abuse of love is found in the Word of God. And if we don't saturate ourselves with God's perspective on love, we will continue to function as our culture shapes and molds our feelings and our ideas and our actions concerning love. And we see it happening in the Christian community and have for many years, and probably always has been the case. So that's the case because God does not misuse the word love. When it's used in the Word of God, it has very particular, specific meaning, and we need to understand what that is. He doesn't use it in a wrong way. He doesn't use it insincerely. It's not just acting as if. It's not just sort of to make a point. It's not to create some kind of a feeling or an atmosphere. It's because he really means it. And therefore, we need to understand what he's saying. In this passage that I just read, as far as I know, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but as far as I can determine, it's the most concentrated passage in all of Scripture for the word love. The word love is used 13 times in the English translation here in the ESV, 13 times in 6 sentences. When you go to the next section that Bob will talk about next week, in verses, 13 through 21, it's also used 13 times in 10 sentences. So here we have in 16 sentences the word love being used 26 times. Most concentrated place in all of Scripture where the use of love is so dominant. And it's important to point out that this word love is the love that's used, or the love that describes God's kind of love. This is not just sort of family love or friendship. This is God's divine sort of love that we have here in this passage. So, what John says in this section that I read can be summarized, or at least I'm summarizing it, in 4 statements. And that's so you can write them down and remember them. Love is supernatural. Love is a consequence. Love is inevitable. And love is commanded. Love is supernatural. Love is a consequence. Love is inevitable. And love is commanded. So let's take the first one. Love is supernatural. That is to say, that God is the source of love. It's not the chemistry, it's not the product of evolution, it's not some kind of survival technique for the species. It's the origin of love is out of this world. It doesn't exist in space and time apart from God, who stands outside of space and time. So God himself is the one who is called here by John. God is love. He says that is God's nature. That is, if you want to say one word about God that captures the essence of who he is, the core reality of God, it's love. And why is that? Because we have there in that embedded the triunity of God, the three who are one. We have the Father loving the Son loving the Father, and the Father and the Son loving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loving and honoring and glorifying the Father and the Son. And we don't have time to go into all that. We've talked about it before. John 17 is a good place to look at that. But this is so wonderful to me that the ultimate reality is the nature of God. And he says, my relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're going to use a word to capture it, and that word is love. So when we speak about love, we are referencing God. All of humanity talks about love. In every language, there's got to be some word for this kind of relationship, a committed relationship. And when we do, we are honoring God. We are admitting that we're made in the image of God. Whether people are atheists or not, when they use the word love, they're actually saying, I believe that there is a God who is three in one. Because that's where love comes from. He is the source. Love is supernatural. He is the one who defines what true love is. We don't get to define it. And whereas our culture has rejected God and so redefines love and therefore marriage and therefore relationship with children as well, we are stripping the word love from its true meaning because God is the one who defines love for us. So we need to learn from him, and that's through this word. We need to learn from God what true love is. And so if someone is to love like God loves, then that love must come from God because it is not generated from within us. Humanity is incapable of loving the way that God loves because ever since Adam and Eve sinned, there's been a rejection of the true God, and we have no desire nor power to live the kind of love life that God himself has commanded and God himself exhibits. So this brings us then to the second statement, that true love is a consequence. True love is not something that we generate within ourselves and therefore it does good things. True love is something that is a response to what God has done. Look at verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. So that true love must come from a response to what God has done in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is not important to you, you don't really love. Not true love that's going to last. Your love is only situated within space and time. It's only coming from the sort of the residue of what God made us to be in his image. And so we're sort of like a shadow. The love that we have is a shadow of the true love, the genuine love that comes from God himself that stands outside of space and time. So that true love is what God has done for us in Christ. And that love is an eternal love. It's a love that is self-sacrificing and it is unconditional. That's the exhibition of God's love for us in Christ. And he proves it with sending his Son to be the sin bearer. because God became man, as we're celebrating here in this Christmas season. God became man. God in the flesh, a real man, and yet the true God, in a mystery that will never be understood by us. And that is the truth of what God has done, and then sending him to die to become the sin bearer, to experience the punishment that I deserved, is the expression of God's love. That's who God is, an unconditional, eternal, and self-sacrificing kind of love. And therefore, how can we not love if we have been the recipients of that kind of love? If we have known the love of God, if we have embraced Christ, if God's work in our hearts has caused us to see the value of Jesus and see the love that he's expressed in his sacrificial death for us, how can there not be a response of love? It must always be a response to what God has done. We can never initiate it on our own. We don't have the desire or the power to do so. So true love is, as it says in verse 19, just going ahead a little bit to next week, we love because he loved us first. True love, then, is unconditional, self-sacrificing, and eternal as a consequence of being born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to come from God. Paul says in Romans 5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, so that it's not because we sort of woke up and realized what our situation was and so began to love God. No, God's Spirit has put his love in us. It's a consequence of God's saving work in our lives that we're able to love. So love is supernatural. God's the source. Love is a consequence, our response to what God has done in showing us his love for sinners like us. And thirdly, love is inevitable. You're destined for love. You're destined to be a loving person. In some sense, you can't help yourself, because God has said, you are my child, if you are his child, and his children are going to be loving. That's the eternal destiny that he's prepared. You are going to be what he says you will be. So that God has promised that his chosen ones have received a new nature. And that new nature, in that new nature, it's inevitable that love will grow from it. It's impossible, John says, to have a new nature and not grow in love. And if contrary, on the other side, if you have a new nature that is given to you by God, the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life is love. It must be. It can't be any other way. Jesus said, a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. So if you know that you belong to God, that he has saved you by his grace, then you are on the road to growing in love. It's inevitable. It's your nature. That's who you are. So, the Holy Spirit who's been given to us abides in us, and he is perfecting his love in his people. This brings us then to the last statement. We have God, love is supernatural, love is a consequence, love is inevitable, but love is a command. Love is commanded. That is to say that love is that love, that growing in love in a believer is inevitable, does not mean it's automatic. Does not mean that we can just say, I'm just along for the ride because God's promised that I'm going to become a loving person and so I don't have to be concerned about it. That's not what the Word of God tells us. In a similar way, God tells us that He will provide for us and we don't need to worry. We don't need to be in all kinds of anxiety to where we're going to eat and sleep and all that kind of stuff. He says, I will take care of my people. But He says also, through Paul, if you don't work, you don't eat. So God uses means to accomplish what He says is guaranteed. So that God uses the commands that He's given to us to produce the fruit that He has said is inevitable. And therefore, God's promises to us that His word will produce in us His fruit means that we need to know His word. We need to drink of His spirit, and we need to eat His word. Need to take the nutrition, the spiritual nutrition that He gives to us. It is the means by which that inevitable fruit of love comes through us and becomes reality in our lives. So, we have the Spirit of God living in us, those who are born of God's Spirit through faith in Christ, and that indwelling Spirit will give us the desire and does give us the desire and the power to obey the commands of God, and therefore we will grow in love. So love is inevitable because the people of God will obey the commands of their Father in heaven. So, make love your aim. Love is supernatural. Love is a consequence. Love is inevitable. Love is commanded. Make love your aim. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Let's pray. Father, You are the God of love. You are the source of love. You are the definer of it. You are the one who empowers Your people to grow in love, and we need that today, as we do every day. We need that in our homes. We need it in our workplace. We need it wherever we are. And we need to believe Your promise that as we follow You, as we walk by the power of Your Spirit, You will cause us to grow in love, because we received a new nature. We belong to You, and You're going to make sure that Your people reflect who You are. We ask that You would teach us, You would correct us, You would feed us, that we might reflect who You are and so give glory to You, the great God of love and holiness, justice, and mercy, all wrapped into one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.